Our Father, we thank you for rules and regulations. For without rules and regulations, not only would our life be disorderly, but our families would be disorderly, our church would be disorderly, our city would be disorderly, the state, the nation, and the world. And so you have set certain rules in force. And the Bible tells us that if we break the rules, we sin, and if we sin, our sin will find us out. Tonight, Father, when we turn to your Word of God, which is the rule book, we pray that our minds and hearts will be open and susceptible to the Word of God. We ask for the forgiveness of our sins to begin with, so that the soil of which our life lives would be prepared and ready to receive these seeds that fall from the Word of God. We praise you, Father, and we thank you that you do all things right. And we pray you would open our hearts and minds this night to the truth. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20? Exodus chapter 20, and while you're turning to Exodus chapter 20, I'd like to make some comments, because all of you, of course, were not here in Sunday service when we passed out the bulletin that asked the question, can a Christian have a demon? And because I had been taught otherwise all my life, I believed otherwise, but I now stand before you that it is true, because the Word of God says so. And I have demons. When I do things that are wrong, if it's not because of my just the sin nature that I have, it's because of a demonic influence. And if you've been thinking I'm a pretty perfect guy, that's all right, keep on thinking. But Nancy will tell you otherwise, that I'm not exactly perfect. And when I flare up at home, and when I do things that are wrong, when I get angry, etc., lose my temper, this is because there is in me a demonic influence that needs to be checked and taken care of. And we mentioned Sunday that if a pig was in your house, you certainly would get rid of it and not just clean up after it. And that's what a lot of us have been doing for many years. We've been cleaning up after this pig has been in our house. The pig represents an unclean animal, an unclean spirit, a demonic influence. The sad thing is that when we involve ourselves in things that are wrong, we are receiving a curse. And if you found Exodus by now in chapter 20, you're going to follow with me in a moment and find out that not only will God curse you, but he will curse your children and your children's children, the third and fourth generation. So before I say any more, let's just read Exodus chapter 20. Well, we can follow with the first verse. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, you can play on that, the word bondage. You know, we are in bondage to our sin. Now, God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now, he is a loving God, but there are two sides to God's nature. There is the wrath, and there is the love. On the wrath side, there is a slant that says he is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, while we're right there, turn to Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. Numbers 14:18. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means declaring the guilty. By no means clearing the guilty. He visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Now back to Exodus, if you still have your finger there. He says, this first and second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness. Thou shalt not bow down to them and serve them. This borders on what is called the occult. And when we get involved in the occult, in a minor way or a major way, we are sinning against God. And God says, I'm putting a curse upon you and your children and to the third and fourth generation. Now maybe some of you are saying, I don't believe it. Well, that's okay. You don't have to believe it. But it does say it here in the Bible. One of you may be thinking, well, that's... God wouldn't do a thing like that. Why would God do that? Well, God made the rules. After all, He created the world. And if He created the world, can He make the rules? And so if He makes a rule that we don't like, you know, it's our problem. It's like the laws that we spoke of earlier in the opening prayer. There are laws that are set up to run efficiently our lives and our world, our home and our church. And one of those rules is not to dabble with the occult. And every time in the Bible we read about witchcraft and the occult, with all of its, you know, what all is in that box of the occult, God pronounces a curse on the people that participate in it. Now, when we want to be delivered, there are two things that we have to do. We've got to pray a prayer of forgiveness, we've got to forgive people, and we've got to renounce all of the associations that we have with the occult. Those are the two major things. Under forgiveness, there are so many people that we must forgive, because if we don't forgive, God's not going to forgive us. And if you don't forgive, then your chances of being completely delivered are not as great, because it stands as a block of unforgiveness. So you've got to forgive. Now, who are you supposed to forgive? Well, first of all, you've got to forgive your father and your mother, if they're living or if they're dead. You've got to forgive them, because after all, they were the ones that did us, we think, so much damage when we were little. Remember when you were spanked or told you couldn't have that or couldn't do this or that, and you fought back with your parents? Now that you're mature, you know they were right. But then you thought you were being done great injustice. And at that point, the seed of bitterness or anger or unforgiveness crept in and stayed right there. Now, we all are susceptible to this. Other people that you must forgive would be teachers, pastors. And of course, we talked about the mothers and the fathers. These are people that you have to forgive, because these are the people with the authority figure that we have had problems with as we grew up. Grandparents as well. So it's very important, if you want to get yourself cleaned up on the inside, to go through a forgiveness prayer. And we might do that tonight. There are also prayers printed for us on the table in the narthex. So we have to go through unforgiveness. Secondly, we've got to break all ties with the occult. And when we speak of occult, we're talking about astrology, the Ouija board, the horoscope,
tarot cards.
Palm reading, water witching, help me.
Tea leaves,
fortune tellers.
Things that are mind control.
Mind control, yes, to hypnotism.
Just reading the occult literature.
Occult literature, wearing hexes and vexes and all those kind of things around us, like the astrology signs. Okay, let's just wait one person talk at a time so we all can hear. What were you saying?
Oh, the horn that they wear.
The upside down unicorn horn, which simply means that you are going to ask God, you're going to ask Satan for your finances. And there are a lot of people who are wearing that horn today.
They don't even know what it is.
And they don't know what it is. And I approached a man last year, he was wearing that, and I said, you're my friend, and if you weren't my friend, I wouldn't tell you this. But let me tell you what I believe what you're wearing. And I explained this to him, and he did not accept it. He would not receive it. He said it was something else. And the next time I saw him, he had two of them on, which I thought he was just trying to dig at me. Nevertheless, he wouldn't believe it, but it is. You can look up in the history book, and you'll find that it is used. The same way with the Eastern Star. It is used by witches to cast spells. You just can read about this. Beside the Epsilon unicorn corn, there are other fetishes. That's what the word is. And one other fetish would be the cross with a loop on the top that many people wear. Okay, that is saying that you are praying to the god of Egypt, who was Satan. His name is R-A-I-R-H-A, which is Satan. This is nothing that I'm making up. It's all printed for people who want to read it. So all kind of the occult, we must renounce. And the beautiful thing is that once we renounce it, then we are in a position to receive deliverance. You're interesting. Right?
That peace sign is also a similar
thing. That's exactly right.
The broken cross.
The broken cross. That's used in Satan worship in San Diego and San Francisco.
Can you
touch on how? Okay. Last year, I preached a sermon in which I said that... I forgot what I said now. But it had to do with owls and frogs. And the point being that owls and frogs are spoken of in the Bible as being unclean, used in witchcraft, and the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, if I'm remembering it correctly, Deuteronomy chapter 8.
Say something about there the creatures of the night. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm Okay, the one I'm looking for says you should not, you must not bring any of these abominations into your home, or else you'll receive the curse. So I suggested to the people they don't have to, but if you want to, it would be a wise thing to go through your home and get rid of the owls and get rid of the frogs.
What about like your so many of the canister sets and your kitchen dish towels and pot holders have owls or little toads, little frogs on them as a design, you know?
This is what you have to work out individually. And a man, I remember one illustration, a pastor was explaining this. He said, you don't have to believe me, but it's true. It's part of the occult. And if you have that in your home, you are opening yourself up. And that's the thing, you're opening yourself up. In other words, you're having something that is attractive to these demons that would lurch around these. So he spoke this to his congregation. Many people believed it and destroyed a lot of the things. But there was one lady who had an owl collection. And she had hundreds of owls. She was a school teacher, and people would bring her owls from all over the country. She had expensive ceramic owls. And she went up to the pastor and said, you telling me I'm to destroy all these? And he said, no, I'm not. I'm telling you that you ought to seek the mind of God. And if the Lord tells you to destroy it, then you should destroy it. And so she said, well, I can't destroy him because they're too precious to me. So he said, fine, you know, it's no big deal. My cry is that we all be free of these things and not be oppressed. Let's get free, you know. So this lady went home, and she came back to the pastor about a week later, and she said, you won't believe this. And he said, yes, I will. I've destroyed all my owls, even the two that I saved for the last, because they were very valuable. And he said, well, why did you destroy the owl? And she said, because every time I walked to the kitchen, they looked at me. And those eyes just followed me around. And I was convicted, you know. And that's what has to happen for all of us. We have to be convicted on the inside. You don't do it because I say so. Even if the Bible says so, you do it because you were convicted. So fetishes. And under the category of fetishes would come these things that we mentioned. The looped cross, the upside-down unicorn horns, the frogs, and the owls. So with this in mind, it's just a brief background to explain to us that if you want deliverance, if you want to be free, then you've got to forgive and you've got to break all demonic ties that you may have been involved in the past. And the thing is that you can receive this from your parents. Oh, didn't think about that. Suppose your parents were involved deeply in the occult, or not deeply in the occult. Maybe they just played the Ouija board for the fun of it. Well, they received the curse, and it was handed down through the bloodline to you, and you're going to give it to your children. And it's not so scary, because right now, tonight, you can say, Father, I break, in the name of Jesus, the soul ties that have come to me, and they're broken. And you stop the curse right there. You can do it. You can do it. One thing about deliverance, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun because we as preachers have the upper hand, and it is fun to see a demon or hear a demon talk to you. Know that it is defeated, will have to spend eternity in hell, the pits of fire been prepared for it, and try to get out of getting cast out. And it is amusing, and there's nothing scary about it at all. It should be fun for a Christian to do this. And we need to remember the word in Matthew, or rather in Mark, where the scripture says that you, as a believer, would do it. You don't have to have a pastor. You don't have to have any elder or deacon. You can do it yourself. Because it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. And if you are a believer, that's you. In my name, you shall cast out devils. This is the very first command that Jesus gave his disciples. We have placed it either fourth or down the line where we don't even do it in our churches. And we have changed the system. When God sent the disciples out, he said, first of all, cast out the demons. Now, most churches don't do it, and then most people have relegated it to the very end. There's nothing to be scared of, because these demons who are cast out are going to be sent to the wasteless places or wherever Jesus sends them. And in Jesus' name, we have and are now in the process covering this place with the blood of Jesus. Each one of you in the blood of Jesus. And it's, and we're safe. The only people who are not safe are the demons that are in me and each one of you who may get out tonight if you want them out. Somebody have a question you'd like to ask? It's come to your mind in this very brief study.
Do you think you could explain what the person has to go through, or maybe don't, when a person is going through deliverance?
When you're going through deliverance, you should be relaxed, and you should take some deep breaths. Don't take too many, you'll hyperventilate, but just take some deep breaths, because the demon's spirit, you know, spirit means breath, and breath comes in through through our nose or through our mouth. So most demons, not all, but most, are expelled through the mouth or through the nose because these are the breathing passages. And when you're going through deliverance, you should speak what you think, and then all of a sudden you'll find out that you're not even talking. You know, it is the demon within you talking. And I've had some crazy conversations with the demon. And
it's just like you will to speak in the spirit. You speak in the spirit. You will to yield. You could probably explain it. Yield yourself to whatever thoughts come into your mind.
And when demons come out, they don't always come out the same way. There are some people in this room that have been delivered in a non-violent way. They've just had the demons expelled, and they have a peace. They know they've been free. Other people have screamed. It's not them screaming, it's somebody else. That is a demon. And screaming accompanies it. Sometimes a violent shaking. Like last Sunday, one of the ladies in the church, her whole body just shook as she stood upright. One person fell on the floor and was moving around sort of like a snake under the pews, which unless you saw my graphic description, it's not far-fetched at all, nor was it an exaggeration. But the point is, when you see or when you hear this, it may not be that way with you. It may or may not be. And if it's not, don't feel you haven't received a deliverance, because you can receive the deliverance without the great manifestation. Sometimes when a demon is in a person for a long time, the manifestation is more on the picturesque side because it's been there a long time. Otherwise, it may come out easier.
There isn't a connotation of your spirit. God to be in this plea all the time. There's no guilt, there's no condemnation, there's nothing. There is absolutely nothing. They're just the surrendering of how the demons are just being, you know, forced out, cast out. Sometimes there's resistance. But you know all the time it's going on. And all the time, you know, the spirit within you knows what's going on. As long as there's no pride or anything else hindering, then it's going to come true. Sometimes, like I say, sometimes it may be a little lengthy. With mine, I believe it's because they have been suppressed for, well, my entire life.
Give your reasons for it.
Why I don't know, because I know that, you know, only as of late have I admitted that I have been plagued by many, many different demons. And before I became aware of this, I was under a combination of guilt and shame and the whole package, you know, that goes along with it. I don't know how to explain it, but I'm sick and tired of this. And today, again, I've known for a couple of weeks, I guess, that there's more for me to be able to do. And at this time, it's something to do with it. It's just. This is not me. I was not raised in a home where people used foul language, any obscenities, any, you know, things that were to do with, you know, all this yuck. I call it, it's yuck, it's nasty, it's, you know, it's provoking to me. It really is, you know, this, it's demon activity. And this is exactly what's been going on. It's just, you know, thoughts that come forth in this woman. Scream out. And like I say, this is not me, you know, and I just want to, you know, read this because it's a problem.
Hey, wait a minute. Maybe you're talking about what I said.
Yes,
like.
I know. You mind me in a lighter way than yours.
Maybe I've been going through hell in the last year. That's absolutely indescribable. I can't describe it. I tried to describe it. I've tried my best, you know. But I've been in hell for over, well, October the 23rd, 1980. And I've had a thing on purity. I've always, when I was raised as a kid, you know, the nuns made a big thing about pure thoughts, and masturbation, and all stuff like that. That's pretty normal with boys, kids, you know. And I had such a tremendous guilt complex over it, going to confession to priests and thinking of dirty thoughts and stuff like that, that it got a hold of me all through the years. And I always liked purity, you know, always liked clean thoughts. But like a human being, sometimes I have bad thoughts. Sometimes I gave into them deliberately. But a lot of times I wanted to have pure thoughts, clean thoughts, you know. And as years went by, it just became terrible. Just had dirty thoughts about my mom that I loved with all my heart. About children that I'm crazy about kids. About Christ. About the most beautiful things on earth. I have the filthiest, grossest thoughts. Touching the Bible, it's got to the point I can't touch it. I can't do anything. I go into a church, I just feel, you know, dirty thoughts come to my head. I have to shake my head. I can't just say no. It's gotten worse and worse. I can't, you know, it just comes in my mind in the past. It stays right there. Is that what you're talking about?
Not as in the extreme that you are. But
yeah, I mean, stays right there. And if I don't shake my head, then I feel guilty. You know, if I don't do something that's external, I feel guilty. And how you walk down the street shaking your head or kicking your feet or doing something like that, I mean, how do you do that without being committed to a nut house, you know? And if you don't do it, then you feel guilty. And that's why I don't pray anymore. I don't pray anymore because as soon as I start praying, I get all this filth in my head, all the garbage, just gross, you know? I used to tell my wife last year, she said, Rob, please don't come. I don't want to hear it, you know, because it's too gross. And it's been getting worse and worse and worse. It started to get really bad, like on sacred things, about 20 years ago, because at one time it used to be on sexual things, you know. That didn't bother me in one side, not the other. But the thing that bothered me was the perversion bit. This is what bothered me, like things that were really holy and something that I considered something to cherish, you know. And to get these thoughts of not being able to think of Christ, not being able to think of things I want to think of without all this filth coming into my head, without being, my stomach was affected. And so last year, I fought it. I tried to fight it the best I could. And all to these people who've known me here, if you've known me 3, 4, 5 years, I've been tormented by this. And I fought it off and trying to laugh and trying to be a joker, you know. I was able to do it. Most of the time I was able to do it. But I haven't had any peace in years. And then last year, there was no fighting anymore. There was no more laughing. There was no more nothing. I'd look at people. I'd be look at a girl, for example. Nothing to do with my, what I wanted. And all of this garbage would be coming into my head. So I'd make believe I'd have to carry on a conversation looking at someone with all of this filth coming through my head. And I was able to handle it up until around last October, November, when it just got to the point where something happened where I couldn't shut it off. It would go into my head, and I simply couldn't say no. I don't know what it was. I can't describe it. And so I have to turn my head away. Whereas at one time, all of the filth would come through my head. I'd be able to look at that person and kick it out. But it got to the point I couldn't even look anymore at that particular person. I'd have to turn my head away. And if I didn't, then came the guilt, the terrific guilt. I'd say, what am I going to do? If I do this, they're going to think I'm nuts, you know, shaking your head and kicking, like I'd be, throw your arms up or something like that. That'll be the way to rebuke it. Shouldn't be necessary, you know. And I'd say, well, it's not necessary. What's going on? And anyway, it just got worse and worse and worse. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I lost about 20 pounds. It was like a rail. My stomach was affected. I couldn't sleep at night. Nothing. I wanted to kill myself. Oh, if I hadn't had the guts, I would have been long gone. Long gone. I would have been dead. I didn't have the guts to do it. And couldn't pray anymore. Before it got really super bad, I asked Christ. I used to throw my arms up at night. The kids were sleeping. My wife was sleeping last year in Arkansas. And I'd say, God, please help me. Please. You know I want to be with you. You know I want to think beautiful thoughts. I don't want this filth. I don't want this garbage. You know? Like porno really, really, it makes me angry. So how could I want this garbage if this stuff makes me so angry, you know, angrier than the average person? And here I was attacked by all of this stuff. And stuff. Anyway, it got so bad, I committed myself to hospital, state hospital. And they did nothing. They didn't tranquilize us. They didn't do anything. What's there to be done? You know, you got to get to the heart of it. Whatever it is, I don't know how. And spent the whole year that way, in and out, just going, coming home again, driving my family nuts, not working, losing whatever money we had, and I spent most of the year in and out of hospitals, came to California, went to the hospital up in San Jose, they gave me shock treatments, and calmed me down, I guess, I don't know, but I've been getting better, but I have no peace. As far as having peace, I've been teaching in Greenfield, and it's been hell, a living, daily hell, every single day that I've taught there. And I put a big act on with kids all the time. Junior high kids, you know what they can be like, you know. They're not easy. They take a lot of patience. And so I go there all the time. And for the first time in a teaching career that goes back to 55, I was called on the carpet by kids. Kids went to the principal. Two kids, just a minority of out of 130 kids. Two kids went to the principal and accused me of yelling at them and threatening them, you know. And I had yelled more than I normally should have yelled, you know, or would have yelled. And so I apologized to the principal. And that happened again last week. I controlled myself like I've never controlled myself before. When I got angry, I controlled myself. And the principal called me in again, and she knows that I was sick last year. She's trying to treat me nice. And she said, this girl claimed that you got angry at her. And I didn't get angry. It was nothing. It was absolutely nothing. And so anyway, I told the principal I've really, really been working under her handicaps, so on and so forth. And so now it's out. She knows it, and you know, now I feel like I'm in the limelight. And I felt like I said to her, if you only knew the handicap I've been working under all this time. Now I'm able to laugh with the kids. I'm able to joke around. It's like the old days with the kids. They come around and joke the kid. And inside, I'm dying. My insides are just, every morning, get up, force myself to get up, force myself to go down to Greenfield. You know, house in Arkansas hasn't sold, been debt up to here. And thinking of, am I ever going to get rid of this filth? Am I ever going to be able to think in peace? Am I ever going to be able to see? So I called Neil up last Sunday. It was real bad. It was bad. And I'm trying to control myself. Of course, she can't take it anymore. There's no way she can handle it. She's had it, you know. And it's just worn out. My kids are worn out from it. It's because it's a year. And like I said, things have been getting better. They've been getting, because I've been forcing it. But there's no peace. So I called Neil up. I said, Neil, I've got to have help. I don't know what to do. And So we met at the school this Wednesday, Tuesday, whenever. When was it? Monday? We met at the school, and I had a minimum day that day, and so we met, we talked, and I told him everything. I went back into this, way back, you know, all the things I've been going through from the time I was a little kid and how it worsened 20 years ago starting. And so he said, well, we had a deliverance service, and people were delivered of these demons, and I said, oh boy, if I could be delivered, if I could, because I talked to his son. Well, what was it, last week, when the principal called me in? I said to her, I said, I've taught all these years and I never once was accused by any kid ever of reported by a kid to the principal. It took Greenfield to do it. And I've been all over Canada, all over the place. And so she told me who the kids were, the first two kids in September. We're like that. It's been beautiful. You know, a long time ago that was resolved. But this other little kid who's got a lot of problems, serious problems, that will be worked out eventually, you know. She reported, and they gave her the importance of calling me on the carpet, you know. I needed that like I needed a hole in the head with all, you know, the lack of confidence I had. And so when I told the principal, you know, she said, we're going to confer with the superintendent about this. And I said, you're kidding. I don't believe this. So when she left, she said, it'll be tomorrow. When she left, I talked to this guy, Art Salvagno, who's a just beautiful person. And he saw I was shook up. I almost started crying. He says, Art, I can't take it anymore. I can't. So he talked to me. He talked to me real nice, you know. He says, Bob, don't worry. You're not going to be fired. Don't worry about it. He says, I've had all kinds of experiences like this, too, you know, about being called. But don't worry about it. So he talked to me for a while. Then he sent the psychologist over. He was around. He sent the psychologist over to my room because I was still there. And the psychologist told me, I told him a minimal amount of stuff I had, like gross thoughts came to me. And he said, well, you need help. I said, this is outside of religion you're talking about. I said, can I be helped? Can I get rid of this garbage in my head? Yeah, he says, yeah. He says, you go, you find out what the problem is, and no, you won't have these thoughts that bother you all the time, you know. And so I thought, well, what? Should I go psychiatric or what? So then I called Neil up, and he told me about this deliverance, which I had heard about before. But I can't believe anything's going to work for me. I've had it with me so long. I dread seeing a picture of Christ. I dread my head turning around and having to see the picture. I dread it. I absolutely dread it because all this garbage comes in my head. Then I got to turn my head or shake my head to shut it off. You know, that's not living. That's a living torture.
Bob, his faith is quite low right now.
It's zero.
The Lord
it's
has really given me, he really has accepted a lot of faith to me for him and in his stead. And there's no doubt in my mind that Bob's going to receive a lot of deliverance tonight. And later, we're going to go over to the office and have deliverance service with him. But are you asking for deliverance tonight, Tony? You were talking about that, how you felt tight.
The other day I asked for deliverance, and I wondered if you said, this was a torturing spirit, and I'm asking for you to verify this would be a torturing spirit for these thoughts. Torturing spirit, and the spirit of said he would foul mouth or something like that. So I don't know now if I just completely free of this or not.
She has felt this coming up today.
Yes, somehow.
Okay, but we'll take care of that. Somebody else at once. Let me just say that when we come to begin with, when you cast the demon out, and you can do this yourself, self deliverance or with somebody else. You're not doing it. It is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. And just let's all just say the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Okay, you said it just like I said. No difference. And the demons heard it. And they fear this name of Jesus. They fear it. And so it's not anything you do, but it's in the name of Jesus. And secondly, demons got ears. You don't have to yell at them. You know, sometimes you hear people screaming. You don't have to scream. They're not deaf. You just can whisper to them. Sometimes you get irritated. You may raise your voice a little bit, which is something human you do yourself. They don't need to be screamed at. They can hear quite well. And when they come out, they will come out in various ways. Let me show you the ways I've seen it. Belching, burping, screaming, frenzy, throwing your arms around, down the floor, or calmly. In fact, when Jerry had a demon cast out of him the other day, it came out in a non-violent way. You wouldn't even know he was going through deliverance. You went through the extreme. And there's all in between for us all. Jeannie was in between her.
Tears and coughing.
And she, yes, the coughing, the spitting up, the green slime that's come out of me. So there's nothing to be afraid of.
But you know, I've called on Jesus' name so many times. Zero, absolutely nothing. You know, I remember mornings when I get up, I feel like I'd be crying. As soon as you get up, go to the other one, I start crying. And one, I can't, I don't want to get up. Put my pants on one leg at a time and say, oh, and I pray and scream to God, help me. Zero,
nothing. Here's the answer. You are calling to God to help you. And I'm talking about directing your thoughts to Satan.
Yeah, Jesus, too.
Yeah. That's
with me.
And, we're going to see that difference tonight. Well, before we proceed to do this, let me ask you, is there any other question you'd like to ask? Please don't be bashful. I hesitate. Yes.
I know I talked to you about it before, about after you're delivered and if you don't stick to God, and you can bring back some more.
Okay, the scripture says, and this is Jesus talking, that you get a lot of these demons out of your body, they have to go away. You take a strong man demon, they leave your body. If you don't fill that void with the Spirit of God, then that demon, the scripture says, will bring back seven brothers and sisters with him to live in that place. So when you receive a deliverance, it's very, very important for the deliverer, or yourself, if it's a self-deliverance, for you then to ask God's Holy Spirit to come in, because you see, there are spirits of God, which we're going to talk about in Sermon Sunday, possibly. There are spirits of God, not the Holy Spirit, but spirits of God that come into our heart and fill these void places. You stay in the Word of God, and you keep your Christian faith active, and there is no way that the demon can come back in. No way. Unless you yourself, by permission, say, come on in. By dealing in the occult or unforgiveness for him. That's a good question. I'm glad you asked it.
I can't stress enough that there's no condemnation. And if there is speaking, that is not the individual speaking. That is an angry spirit. And it is not the person. Jesus loves that person very much. When you are praying tonight, I really felt the Lord say there's a victim tonight for my children. He doesn't see that. He sees you.
Well, with that then, let's move on to Tony's request. Tony's asking for deliverance tonight. There may be others too, but I'm sure there are. I'd like for us to do that now with two comments. Number one, if we should break up into groups, and if I designate somebody to work with in person, always remember that all of you have the authority to do it in the name of Jesus. But when you are working with people, it's like a workshop, I'm not telling you, when you're working with people, only one person does the addressing to the demon. Otherwise, confusion comes in. So if you were working with a group, with a person, with a group of people supporting you with praying, like if you were delivering me, there'd be a lot of people around you that'd be praying for the situation. You would be the one that would be addressing the demon within me. Now, if those people around, like, for example, were given by God the spirit of knowledge or wisdom or information that was very helpful, like the name of the demon, for example, then they would speak to Mike, and then Mike would filter the information to me or to the demon, as the case might be. So I'm sure many of you are going to be involved in this in years ahead in the church. So just remember that it's important that one person be speaking. And then if he gets tired, he may turn it over to Jerry and say, Jerry, you work for a while. Jerry's in command. And then he would rest, because it may take time. The second thing is that since we did not announce we're going to do this tonight, we want to have a closing prayer. We want any of you to feel free to go home if you want to. You know, and feel no condemnation if you want to get up and leave, or if you want to stay. And for the young people, there's nothing wrong with you staying. In many churches where this is done, the little children are involved in it too, because they're just... It's
Sunday,
thing.
The little children, you tell them.
Well, Lorinda had been sent to the nursery, and she came back in the middle of all the deliverance. It's quite loud. And she says,
Mom, Margarita wants to know what's going on. And I says, oh,
baby's preparing.
Oh, no.
The intercom was on, and they had all heard everything that had happened. So I went in there expecting Margarita to say, hi, I'm leaving. And she wasn't, and she had told them they'd all been praying, and they just wanted to know who was crying. So I told them it was Tony that they had heard. Well, what happened to her? Well, you want to know? Yeah, we want to know. So I said, oh, well, she had some ugly stuff in her, and God wanted it out, you know. Told it to get out, and it had to. Oh, okay. And they inspected her when she came in to pick Jenny up to see if she was okay. But they just accepted it. So, and they were all little ones, six little ones. And they just thought it was terrific, you know. I just was so surprised. So they do accept
it. If you kids want to go to the nursery, you could stay here, you can, whatever. But well, why don't we just stand and sing a song and have a prayer?
You never really got into how many demons could be in a person.
Okay, the question's been asked, how many demons could be in a person?
I can't think of a test.
The Bible says, when Jesus spoke to a demon, which is our scripture for speaking demons, they said, he said, how many are you in there? And God came back and said, we're legions, legions, and legions of thousands. So we got to fight upon it. But the victory's ours. We're in warfare. And our authority is from the third heaven, remember this, which is far above the highest part of the satanic influences. And praise God for that. Lord, we praise you tonight, and we thank you that people are getting set free. And it makes me feel good to know that people can be free from things that have tormented them since they've been children. All of us, including myself, have got hurts and bitternesses and all kind of nasty garbage that's been put into our being, and we have suppressed it. We have pushed it down deeper and deeper. We've pretended that it's not even there. Been grown and grown and grown, and it's only by the grace of God that we can say, I want to be cleaned out. I want the cesspool cleaned out. So Father, I praise you that people are being set free to all different kind of degrees, and it's done through the name of Jesus. And we pray in that name, and we thank you, Father, for the victory that's going to be ours tonight, where people are going to be set free, freer, freer, in Christ Jesus. We praise you, Father, for that. Because God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer, he's so good to me. Delivers men.
God delivers men. God delivers men. God delivers men, he's so good to me.
Wants to receive deliverance tonight, so we will take her, and if you want to stay, you can support us with your prayers. We need that. And then after Tony, there may be a couple of more that would like to receive deliverance too. So Tony, we'd just like you to come up here, if you will. What we want you to do around us is just to pray. Spirit, and let me tell you this, that demons hate tongues. Demons hate tongues. And they've told us this. So what we want you to do is just to pray in your tongues, and pray otherwise, that God would give us wisdom. And we pray for the deliverance. And Tony, we just praise God.